Welcome to the Chasing Passion podcast. My name is Dom and I'm your host. Each week, I bring on a passionate person to help you discover your own passion in life and how to begin pursuing it. Thanks for spending some time with me today and let the episode begin. This week's guest is Kevin Hart, and no, it's not the one you're thinking of. He is someone I grew up with and know from school. Kevin is currently a final year Commerce International student in UCC. He recently finished an internship in KPMG, which we'll get into throughout the episode. Throughout his journey, he's dealt with various physical and mental challenges, learning and becoming a better person as a result. He's a highly driven individual, and his prime drivers are his family and role models. Most importantly, he's a huge advocate of promoting positive mental health within communities, especially young people. Kevin is also one of Cycle Against Suicide's national student leaders. He has many diverse interests, but his main interests lie in investing, stocks, and trading. In this episode, some of the things we discuss are his top 3 tips for anyone started investing, dealing with challenges and how he overcame them, Kevin's reading habits, and how he managed to read 2 or 3 books a week. And without further ado, let's get right into the episode. Kevin, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on.
No hassle, man. No hassle. My pleasure. Absolute pleasure. It's great to, as we were saying earlier, like, it's great to see someone like yourself from home, like, doing something like this. And I know I reached out to you, like, which is fair enough as well. Like, but I just thought when I seen yourself doing something like this as, like, a guy that I grew up with in secondary school, I thought I have to get involved in some way and I have to contribute in some way. So it's my absolute pleasure to be here. Thanks very much for having me.
No, thank you so much, Kevin. So I guess the first question I ask to all the guests is just, can you give us some context and background behind who you are and what do you do?
Yeah, no bother. So basically, my name's Kevin Hart. I'm 21 years old from Wexford, Ireland. I'm currently going to my final year in college in UCC down in Cork. I'm doing a BCom International with Italian degree. So over the last 4 or so years, going into my 4th year, I've sort of tried to get involved as much as I can. Like, my passions, like, be sort of, like, I know you had Jack and Kyle on and stuff, like, I'm hugely involved in, like, fitness and powerlifting, especially mental health and another thing. I've been involved with Cycling Suicide during secondary school. Like, I was national student leader for Cycling Against Suicide. So they're 2 huge passions. Obviously, I love reading, I love cooking, I love just, like, experience and stuff, like travel and, like, meeting different people is, like, probably at the top of my pecking order. Like, so that's basically who I am. I'm just, you know, your average, like, college student, but, like, I like to touch on different stuff, like, and get as much experiences as I can, like, so.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, before the interview, we were having a chat, and you mentioned that you read, like, 3 or 4 books a week.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? How can you read so much books?
Yeah.
Can you just describe, like, how your reading patterns and your habits what kind of books you read as well?
Yeah, so basically, I am a huge advocate of self-education. So I think, like formal education is brilliant. Like, it has a time and a place, but, like, I think to distinguish yourself from others, it's your own self-education. So as we were talking earlier on, I have a huge passion for reading, whether it's, like, soft copy, hard copy books. Now, these can touch on a variety of stuff. So on average per week, I try to read at least 3 to 4 books, like, give or take, sort of thing. So the majority of time when I'm, like, sort of, like, even during the summer when I was doing my internship, they're on my phone. So, like, I love to find free books on, like, any type of, like, passion I might have. So, like, as we were saying earlier on, like I have a huge passion about the stock market, educating myself on that, leadership, motivation, sort of entering regards, personal resilience, mental health. Like, I love sort of finding a book, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, and just sort of grasping opinions from them. So on average, like, I try to get at least 3 or 4 per week. Like, my reading patterns is whenever I can. So if I'm going into work in the morning on the bus, I'm scrolling through stuff I try to pick up. If I'm at the toilet, you know, it sounds kind of weird. Like, you know, I try to touch in on that. On the way home from the gym, try again. And then obviously whenever I can, you can't beat a good hard copy. Like, so I like to go to sleep, like even the last week or so, like, I've been, like, I finished my internship and being at home, and every night I've just been sort of going through as many books as I can. Like, and there's a difference between when you're reading off a screen and you're reading an actual physical book, and I think it's it is when you start dealing with a lot of like textual stuff through a computer or through a phone that you do eventually like realize how nice going back to a traditional book is. So yeah, I just basically read as much as I can, whether they're whether they're published or non-published sort of thing. So I just try and find as much as I can, basically.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
and like you obviously, if you read 3 or 4 books a week, you probably went through a good few books.
Yeah.
And if you were to kind of give us some 3 to 4 books that you really liked,
yeah,
and that could help a lot of other people.
Yeah.
Could you just name out a few books?
So there's one really good one that I'm reading at the moment. It's called Consiglieri. If you are interested in leadership and what drives leaders, I would definitely recommend this book. Another one is as regards stock market, Warren Buffett is the be all end all.
Yeah.
So I have read a fair few books on that. There's one book in particular that I read not too long ago. It's called Warren Buffett, The Blueprint of Success, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's another really good book, and it's a fantastic book if you are looking to get into the stock market, but you sort of don't have too much time sort of thing to look into all the papers and stuff that have been published or like study indices and stuff like that. If you are looking to get into it, it is a brilliant book because the basis of the book, not to get too in-depth, it comes from his memoirs and from his letters that he's written to shareholders within his company. So the book itself focuses on different periods of time throughout recessions, booms, everything, and it basically zones in on the average person, like what you want out of the stock market if you're looking to go into it. So if you want to just throw 500 quid, 1,000 quid into it and leave for 20 years and try and make the best return as possible, it'll tell you how to do that. Or if you want to be day trading where you're trying to make upwards of anywhere from 20 quid to 10 grand a day, it'll tell you how to do that as well. But again, the nice thing about it shows you the pros and cons. So if you are looking to go into the stock market as a sole trader instead of using a stockbroker, you'll have no commission and stuff that you're paying to the stockbroker, but you will have that added risk that you don't know as much as them sort of thing. So it's nice in that way that it sort of gives you a bit of insight into it. And then the final book I'd recommend is called Chaos Monkeys. So that book sort of zones in on Silicon Valley and sort of the way the tech bubble started, which I find extremely interesting. Obviously, you know yourself, 20 years ago, there wasn't even podcasts and stuff
exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
So that zones in on, it zones in on a few different people and their start off in the tech bubble, in different companies like Facebook, Amazon, Apple. And it shows just the internal politics, how each company has grown, how Silicon Valley itself has grown, and sort of the effects of it, so positive and negative. So if you are interested in tech, that's another great book. And then again, I don't restrict myself to just stuff that's focused on my career. I love reading autobiographies about sports people, whether it's Sir Alex Ferguson or Ron Nagar or somewhere like that. Because I find where you're reading something like that that you might have a passion about, that it's a pastime that you like, you actually can draw a lot of that, the leadership qualities and the motivation behind people like this that have done well, and picking pieces like that from different types of books and implementing it into your own life. Once you do start seeing the difference doing stuff that other people do, it's crazy, it's phenomenal. Even myself now, from when I started off in college, and that's when I started reading really properly. Because before that, I was the average teenager might read a book here and there if I have to, but from the start of college, I've just gone hell to leather reading, and the stuff I've learned from it is absolutely phenomenal. So I definitely recommend looking into them 3 books if you are interested in reading, and especially for developing your own career. But then again, there's millions and billions of books out there. It's not that hard to pick something that you're going to find interesting, so. For people that are listening, I definitely say just spend even half an hour per day looking into different book titles and reading a short synopsis on them and see, is it something you're interested in, is it not? So that's what I think anyway.
Yeah, I'd also like to add on that. A lot of people think, okay, when I get a book, you should finish it. But I disagree. I think you should look through it, like Kevin said, look at the introduction, look at the conclusion, and find bits that you find interesting. And then if you want to stop, just stop, find a new book. But I think just the eagerness to learn and eagerness to read different books, I think that's really important. And also, like, I think books are such a bargain. I've said this before, but like, this is someone's thoughts into kind of a paper version, I guess. And you can literally download the information into your brain. Like, how cool is that? Like, how cool is that? And you get that for like, what, 15 euro or less, which is amazing.
Yeah. The thing is, as well, like, these people, these authors, yeah, they have pumped years and years of research and study and their opinions into this book that might be like, you know, 12 centimeters thick.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not try to drain in some of that knowledge into your own life, into your own lifestyle? Like, because like you're basically like in college, like you read up on academic papers. Some academic papers you have to pay for. You're basically getting an academic paper on a certain subject in a book that's completely free to you if you want. Like, so I think like whether you like reading or you don't, it is necessary to like do well. So
Yeah. And you know, so most of the books you read were kind of, well, not most, but like I say, well, just from what you named down, they're mostly like a stock market related. So if you could give us three tips for the people who don't actually want to go out there and read stock market books, three biggest lessons that you learned from the stock market books that you read. If any comes to mind.
Okay, so a bit of sort of background. As regards the stock market, I sort of been trying my hand at it since I was about 16 years old. So I'm 21 years old now. The biggest thing that I have learned from both books and own experiences is do not be afraid to make mistakes. So a lot of people, when they're looking to invest, they want to make money extremely quickly. And I can tell you for one thing, if you're looking to go into the stock market and you're looking to make money quickly, you might as well not go into it, because it just does not happen like that. It really doesn't. Like, and a lot of people, especially in the recession, lost an extreme amount of money on the stock market because they panicked. Because they didn't have proper knowledge about what was going on, because they're going through a stockbroker that, well, like, not all stockbrokers are bad, but like some stockbrokers sort of short sold people, and they sort of, they're looking at commission instead. And then when the market dropped, instead of saying, lads, wait it out, you know, the market's going to pick up again, they're like, quick sell, quick sell, quick sell, just get rid of them. So I'd say number one tip is educate yourself. Definitely educate yourself, because if you're going into, like, it's your money. Like, you work however many hours a week. You don't want to throw that money away. You really don't. Like, we work hard enough. Like, I read a thing recently, like, Irish workers are the most productive all over the world, which is like when you're working that hard for the wage that you're bringing in, you do not want to put into something where you're thinking you're making money and 3 months later, you mysteriously lose money. So number one tip is educate yourself. Second tip that I've learned from the books and from experience is if you're investing in something, make sure you understand the company. So the biggest mistake that people make, they hear a company like Johnson & Johnson, which is like, it's a stalwart in the stock market, like a blue chip stock, does really well and stuff, but they don't understand what the company does. And if you don't understand what the company does and bad press comes out about the company and the stock price drops, like, you're going to panic. Like, it's natural to do. But if you understand that company, you understand their values, you understand their 5-10 year goals, and you have faith in that company, you will do well. Simple as. So definitely second tip is understand the company you're investing in. And I say the third and final tip is, I'd say try to diversify your portfolio, because like, if you're looking at one sector in particular and you are pumping all your money into that sector, like, bad news happens, recessions happen, you don't want to see your whole portfolio to suddenly drop. So what I like to do is I like to diversify my portfolio. So at the moment I have, as we were saying before we started the podcast, I have my 5 recession proof stocks. So there's stocks that throughout recession, like, historically they've done well. So like in the US, say you look at like Walmart, like, so in recession people have less disposable income, they're eating out less, they're cooking at home more, so they're buying more groceries, which is driving up Walmart's profits. So I will always have like a base few companies that have been and will be recession proof. But then again, like, I like to diversify myself into new markets, your traditional markets like real estate or some, like if your goal is to own property, like that first step of owning property is look into real estate investment trusts. They're called REITs. And what they are is basically they're a collective company that buys real estate, rents it out, sells it on, which is what most landlords do. So if you're looking into getting into property, I would definitely start there. And like these guys, like REITs, they usually have the highest dividend yield. So if you are looking for disposable income coming in every quarter or every month or whatever, they're like, they're a stalwart. But again, like during a recession, property goes down, they go down again. So you just have to sort of diversify yourself, know what industry is doing well, what isn't, and what's going to do well in future, what isn't. So like if you're looking at a fossil fuel company, like 10, 15 years, they might not even be there. So why buy shares in them now? Just like, even at the moment, like say in February, I found a coal company, that Consol Coal Resources. They're doing quite well in the stock market. They were talking about going back into renewable energy and stuff, switching away from fossil fuels, but that never materialized. And like, if you're keeping up with a company, you're looking at the reports that's coming out of the company. If you don't see the changes that you like get rid of that company if you don't believe in it. Then like, you know, that's what I did, and I was lucky. I sold them at a good price. I made a profit on them, and I found a company that sort of invests in renewable energy, which is the way, which like the climate, you know, is as it is. Renewable energy is going to be the future, and like they're a company that I can see myself holding for at least 15, 20 years without doubt. So yeah, there are my three tips. Again, it is a whole learning exercise. Like no one ever gets it right 100% of the time. I've had bad trades. Majority of people that have made billions off stock market have had bad trades. It's just all part of learning. But I'd say like definitely expose yourself to everything you can. But like the one thing is just to do your research, because if not, you'll fall out of love with it. Like you'll get ticked, you'll lose money, and you'll think, Joe, it's not worth it anymore. Which for some people that's all right as well, but Joe, it is important to, like, if you are looking to go into it, just to fully understand it. So yeah
100%. And you know, it's a very big field to get into. So how does someone who has never even looked into stocks, this is the first time they ever heard about the stock market, for example, what does that person do? How does that person get involved with trading?
So
where are the resources? Where do you go?
Yeah, so traditionally, everyone that was interested in the stock market, that was interested in making a few quid, they went through a stockbroker. Now, stockbroker is grand. If you want to go through a stockbroker, you can find them. Quick Google search and you'll find plenty of stockbrokers, especially in Ireland, that are willing, if you invest your money with them, they'll buy shares for you. They'll tell you how that company is going every day, and they'll recommend when to sell, when to buy, etc. But if you're wanting to miss out on commission, if you're wanting to miss out on, say, their taxes and stuff, there is an option nowadays, especially with a few like companies that have emerged, where they're given an online trading platform for people. Like you can become effectively your own personal stockbroker for yourself. So the app that I use at the moment is called DEGIRO. So they're a Dutch company. Basically, the attractive thing about them is they offer a lot of shares all over the world at very low prices. So traditionally, if you're using a stockbroker, you're going to be paying commission to them for their services, and you're going to be paying, I think it's like there's a few different taxes you pay through using a stockbroker. With DEGIRO, it's 50 cents per transaction for American shares. So like even in that, like the savings are huge. There's no minimum buy clause. So like with stockbroker, you might have to buy 1,000 shares minimum. With these guys, you can buy one share if you wanted in a company. And you can sort of, like, you have all the charts, you have all the indices, you have all the yields, the minimum like buys and stuff like that. Like, so you have everything there that you need to start trading. And I think they actually offer a virtual option as well, if I'm not. Yeah, I think
just to
they
get a practice, yeah.
Yeah, I think they offer a virtual. Like, there's plenty of companies like that, and plenty of apps that offer a virtual trading, like, option if you want it as well. So find a good app on your phone that you can look into it. Find a good resource that's going to give you news on the company every day and give you the charts of how they're performing, and Joe, like, the world's your oyster then. Like, as we were saying earlier, Instagram Google, they're mine pits of information at the moment. Like there's over like, I think it's over 1,000 pages at the moment to offer advice on stocks, to offer advice on high dividend stocks if you're wanting to make money every quarter, every month, whatever. Like, so do a search on Instagram, do a search on Google, follow as much pages as you can, keep up to date as much as you can, like sign up for every newsletter you can find, and you're laughing then, really, like, to be honest with you.
And I do like to ask this question, what are you motivated by?
So there's a few different motivating factors that play into me, whether it's career-wise or like family-wise, whatever. So number one motivating factor is my family, and especially my mom and dad. Like, they came for absolutely nothing, and they've built their whole way up without any handouts or anything like that, and like they've created a great life for themselves and for me and my brother as well. So them two are always and always will be my motivating factors. Second motivating factor, as we were speaking earlier, so when I was 17 and fifth year, I went through anorexia and like mental health problems for, I'd say it was a good 9 months, which eventually at the end of the year, I ended up in hospital for treatment for anorexia. So it was at that point where, like, there was one point, especially I remember in school one day, where I got results of a blood test, and if my blood sugar levels were like 0.1% or 0.1 lower than what they were, my kidneys would have failed. So that whole experience and stuff, I remember the day I decided in the hospital that I was going to just get better and just never have this sort of thing again. That is when like the switch was flicked, like, you know, seeing the effect that something so possessive of a person can have on your friends, your family, etc. Like, during that period, like, I lost friends that I might never make up with again, and like, I totally know whose fault that was. It's my fault just for being selfish. Like, for my family especially, like, I'll never forgive myself for anything that I put them through. Like, I remember as one of the first times I seen my dad crying, where he was sitting in the kitchen at home, and I was then weighing myself again, as I usually did every day, seeing did I lose anything, and Joe, like, I was a skeleton of a human sort of thing. And I remember going up and looking in, he didn't know I was there, and I saw him crying, and I felt so, so guilty. And I just said to myself, like, if this is going to teach you anything, if you can overcome something like this, you can overcome absolutely anything. So anytime that I'm sort of faced with something that scares me, or something that like I might not have experienced before, I say to myself, remember where you were, I remember how far you've come, because if you can go from nearly dying effectively, you can literally overcome anything. So I use that every day, and I'll use that every day in my life to get over stuff and motivate myself and make the best of a life I can for myself. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Kevin, how did you actually overcome these challenges that you had? Because I'm sure it wasn't easy, like, yeah, just by listening to your story, like, well, like, I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
What did you use to overcome those challenges?
So during that period of time, I was very extremely like against getting help and stuff like that. And
do you think that's wrong though? Do you think
It's completely wrong. Completely wrong. But then again, that's the illness, Joe. When you're in that mindset and you've one thing in your mind you want to do, you'll listen to no one. So the things that helped me get over what I was facing was just literally listening to people. Like, you know, like when you're going through something like that, and everyone knows that you're going through something like that, everyone has an opinion, whether it be right or wrong. But if you're blocking those opinions out the whole time, you're getting nowhere, because you're just telling yourself what you want to hear. So it was when I started listening to like my family, my friends, and what I should be doing, that's when I started overcoming stuff. Like, even when I was in the hospital, like, whether it was the doctors or the nurses are telling me what to do, I said, right, now is the time to just start listening if you want to get better, and just listen to people. Like, people, like, you know, today there's a misconception that people are out to get you, like they only care about themselves. If you have people around you that care about you, they're always going to want the best for you. They will, simple as. And the difference is where do you choose to listen to that? And it might hurt sometimes where you think this option is not going in my favor. But if you go through it, I guarantee you, you'll come out 10 times better from it on the opposite side. So through listening to people, especially my family and friends, that's what helped me overcome this, like that period of time. And you know, I wouldn't be the person I am today without those opinions. Like, so, yeah.
And if you could give advice to 16-year-old self, what advice would you give?
I would say to myself, well, I'd say to myself to not be afraid, not care what people think, and to embrace every experience you get. Because at the end of the day, like in 70 years time, like you're going to be 12 foot under, you're never going to experience stuff like this again. So if I was to go back and change anything that I did, I definitely would change things. And I wouldn't change other things either, because some of the stuff that, Joe, we go through as people makes you the person that you are and what you become. So in one way, I wouldn't want to change anything. In another way, I would. But I just say to myself, just don't be selfish. Experience as much as you can. And the biggest thing is what I try to do the most now is give back. Give back to people, because like people are great. Like, no, they really are. Like, you find some amazing people in your life. And if you don't embrace that and you block yourself off, you won't experience life. So I definitely say to myself, give back as much as you can. So, yeah.
And I'd also like to ask you, how do you define mental health? Like, what is good mental health?
So through my experiences of mental health and through meeting people, especially with Cycling Against Suicide, who would have sort of experienced similar stuff, good mental health, I believe, is being open to anything, embracing challenges, and I suppose just enjoying life more so than anything. Like, people nowadays, there's so much stress around, you know, college, leaving cert, work. People forget to enjoy themselves, like, you know. Like, going out for a walk at the seaside can be one of the most enjoyable things ever. So I suppose good mental health is just being clear of mind and just living the life you want to live. Like, there's no point living by someone else's rules. Not to say to disobey all the rules, like there is like rent like that, but to live the life that you want and that you envision, and not to let anyone sort of dampen what you want to do or who you want to become. Because like we've all had in the past where someone says, oh, you're never going to be that, you're never going to do that. You should go back to them and say, why not? Like, why can't I be an astronaut if I want? Like, you know, like if I'm motivated enough to get there and I enjoy getting there, like, why can't I? You know, simple as. So I'd say to anyone that is looking to improve their mental health is to just focus on yourself and what makes you happy. And whatever makes you happy and whatever road that's going to bring you down, you follow that road no matter who stands in the way. And that's when you will find happy mental health sort of thing. So, yeah, that's pretty much.
Yeah, I like that definition a lot. Yeah. And how do you actually maintain good mental health? Like, what do you currently do? I know for myself, I always try and meditate in the morning. I write down what I'm grateful for. I journal. I exercise, all these things, just to maintain a good state of mental health.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to know, like, how do you maintain good mental health?
Yeah.
Because so, I think it's so important.
Oh, definitely, without doubt. Like, I have a few very good techniques that I use. So one is exercise. I would be absolutely nowhere without exercise, because if you're not doing any exercise and you're feeling tired, that's because you're not doing any exercise. The endorphins that exercise releases, are like, you can't get them in any other way.
Oh yeah.
So that's my main source of good mental health. Another source is just through talking to people. Like, I will talk to absolutely anyone. Like, if that wall talked, I would talk back to it. Like, simple as. So anywhere I go, I try to talk to as much people as I can. Get their stories from them, like, you know, what drives them, what motivates them. And I think, like, when you hear these stories and hear what people have been through themselves, like, it makes you feel good, like, you know, because you see that person in front of you now and you're like, like, well done, like, you know, it's class to see that, like, it's absolutely brilliant, like, you know. So that's another big thing. And then finally, I'd say reading, to be honest with you. Like, I find, like, whether it's a sense of achievement or what it is, like, when I finish a book, like, I'm like, it's pretty cool, like, you know. Like, I think if you're trying to get on top of your mental health and you're trying to keep it at a good pace, like, I definitely say find something where you're going to give yourself a sense of achievement. And, like, if you can achieve that sense of achievement on a daily basis or on a weekly basis, like, you'll be sorted, like, simple as.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I like to add on that when you said reading, it just a light bulb went off in my head. So I think, like, as humans, we are just naturally drawn towards information.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment, we have a lot of negative, you know, well, not negative. I guess we have, like, news, we have social media. We have so much information out there. And we all consume information one way or another. But I think a lot of people tend to focus, well, the news is actually very negative. Like, if you open the news, it's extremely negative. And it can really make you depressed and shit. I don't know, but it's just not great. But, like, if you, like you said, reading, like, I think if you focus, if you try and consume information that's positive, that's actually good for you, you're gonna, what am I trying to say? You're gonna get your need for information.
Yeah.
But if you're just scrolling through Instagram, like, that is information, but I don't know if it's good for you. I don't know if it's good for your mental health.
Yeah.
So I like the way you said reading, because I think that's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
Like, the majority of the time, like, especially newspapers, like, they're not paid to put good news stories in.
Yeah.
They want to find the stuff that's going to cause people to go, Jesus, what the hell, like, Joe. You know? So, like, if you can stay away from stuff like that, do. But, like, Joe, you know, we're humans as well. Like, so, like, you're not going to be able to completely avoid it. But, like, if you can stay away from bad news stories and stuff like that, definitely do. Instagram and itself, like, I know a lot of
people. There's good and bad to Instagram.
Like, a lot, like, there is great resources available on Instagram. There's bad as well. Like, I know from my own research and stuff, a lot of mental health difficulties in the 16 to 26 age group are caused by Instagram, especially from like, Joe, you know, people that are like flaunting their wealth and stuff. And like, Joe, you know, like, someone say that doesn't have a good upbringing and they might not be in like a really like, Joe, you know, like a wealthy household, right? And like, they're seeing these guys that are their age and they're like going on, you know, 20 grand holidays and stuff and doing all this stuff. And they're thinking like, what am I doing wrong? Like, Joe, you know, like, I'm going through school, going through college, like, but these guys are my age. Like, what am I doing wrong? And like, that's happened to me. Like, I've often looked at people on Instagram and said, like, this guy is the same age as me. Like, he's making like 50 grand a year just like on his side business or whatever. Like, why am I not doing that? Like, am I not working hard enough? Am I not doing enough college work? Am I not doing enough stuff on the side, et cetera, et cetera? But, like these pages, they're great to follow and they're great to look at. But, like, don't try to compare that to your own life. Like, you know, like, make your own life. That's someone's life. You just make your own life. It's cool to look at them. But, like, at the end of the day, it's not to be all end all, like, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think it's good to, like, just have an inspiration, but, like, don't go out there comparing yourself to this person, because there's just literally no point. And I also think, like, happiness is literally the absence of desire.
Yeah.
So, like, you're just happy where you are, like, okay, fine, I'm in this place, just accept it and move on, make a plan to get to where you want to be. Because a lot of times you look at all these Instagram pages and you're like, oh yeah, I wish I was there, oh I wish I had this Ferrari, oh I wish I was in this holiday. But then, do you really want that? Like, do you genuinely want that? Are you just doing it because just fear of missing out, I guess? You know, I think that's a good point.
Definitely, because like, you hear from the majority of celebrities, like, money does not equal happiness.
Oh yeah.
Like, you can have as many cars as you want, the biggest house you want, that doesn't mean you're actually happy. Like, money, money at the end of the day is just paper. Now it's digital, you can't even see it, like, you know. So I think focusing on your own happiness and achieving what you want to as a person is more beneficial than seeking out what's the most money I can make. Because if you're good at something, money will be there anyway for you, you know. So just find what you want to do.
Follow your passion, guys. Follow your passion.
Exactly. That's the name of the podcast. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's basically it. Like, you know, so.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I like to say this on passion. I think, like, you don't necessarily find your passion just instantly. I think it just happens when you try different things. So, like, try as many things as possible. And you're not supposed to have your passion figured out. Like, just try many different things and see what you like best. Yeah.
I definitely agree with that, because, like, even as regards, like, careers and stuff, like if you can do, like, if you're in, like, a degree, like, commerce, if you can get, like, an internship over your 4 years in four different companies, like, do it.
Yeah.
Like, you might love one company. You might go to another one and say, geez, this is even better than last place. You might go to another one and say, geez, I never want to work there. Like, you know, so, like, take as much opportunity as you can, because, like, the opportunities available to us here in Ireland, especially at our age, like we're the top, like, the youth today are the top 1% of, like, anyone in this country that has ever been. Like, we've so many opportunities available to us. Like, if you look 30 years ago, like, people our age, like, would look at the opportunities we were getting and they'd say, like, I don't believe that's definitely a scam. Like, the opportunities we have to go into, like, graduate jobs at wages that are, like, so far above the rest of Europe, like, we're just so lucky. And I think that everyone should have in their mind for the 4 years of college to just get as much out of the 4 years as you can to make sure that, like, you're enjoying yourself, but, like, you're going to be set up as well when you get out, like, so.
And you mentioned the Cycle Against Suicide. Mm-hmm. Could you tell us about that and what was your involvement with Cycle Against Suicide? Because I remember in school you were doing it all the time, but I never actually knew what you did. So could you just give us some context and what you did and, you know, so on?
Yeah, so basically my involvement with Cycle Against Suicide started when I was actually going through the whole anorexia period. So I saw the site. I knew, like, one of my good friends, like, Kevin Barney, like, he's been involved with Cycle Against Suicide for, like, since his foundation early this stage. Like, Kev is just, he's so involved with it, like, and he's just so good for mental health in Ireland in general. So Kev is one of my best friends, and through him I got involved with Cycle Against Suicide. So I did the first cycle, and I remember on that cycle we cycled from Thurles in Tipperary all the way up to Port Laois, and it was the worst conditions for cycling you will ever see. Like, it was hailstones, the rain was battering down. But the people that I met on that cycle, some people that I met on that, one woman I met, I was cycling beside her, and she had lost 3 sons to suicide. And I remember when she said that to me, and I remembered, I sort of looked into myself and I said, like, I don't ever want to put my mother through that. And I said to myself at the end of that cycle, I said, I want to be involved in this organization. It's doing such a monumental amount for the young people of Ireland. So basically after that cycle, I kept in contact with the guys. I got involved in everything that went on. Like, one of our other student leaders, Jessie Classy, she's organized a sale against suicide for the last, I think this year was in his fourth year. It is his fourth year, actually, I think. But she organized a sale against suicide. So we had these little events like that. Joe, we keep the cycle going. We did a spin-off in Wexford there the year after, when I was in sixth year. So basically what we do on them type things, like, we just try to spread the message of good mental health. Like, we create a really happy environment, we get people to talk, if anyone's going through any difficulties, there'll always be a counselor there if they want to talk to it. And, like, you will be surprised, like, on the cycle, like, the years I've been involved with it, like, the amount of people that have said through talking to just other people on the cycle, they've said, right, I just want to get help, I want to talk to someone about what's going on in my mind. Like, the numbers of people are crazy, and, like, people's lives have been turned around by it. Like, my life was turned around by it, I won't lie. Like, I've made so many good connections in Cycle Against Suicide, and, like, it's just one of those organizations that you never want to see an end to. They do phenomenal work, and, like the likes of the cycle have, like, helped in creating organizations such as, like, ASK back in Wexford, which are doing great things for mental health as well. Like, so I think the runoff from events like these, like, they're absolutely crucial to making sure that, like, we don't abandon the cause in general, because, like, you know yourself, like, Wexford, like, where we come from, is, like, it has one of the highest suicide rates in the country, unfortunately. Like, and, like, the difference like organizations like that have made has cut that number like a serious percentage since the start. But like, so like I always look at volunteering as like, you can't get any bad out of it. Like, you know, it's only going to be good. Like, so it's definitely good to get involved in organizations like that. Like, so I haven't looked back. Definitely haven't looked back on it. Yeah. So.
And going on a slightly different topic, how did you get involved with the internship you're doing now?
Yeah. So basically, since my first year in college, I'm someone that very as much is like, I'm so future focused. So I knew going into my first year of college that these are the companies that people from this degree hire from. I want to get in there. So first, second year of college, I applied to every internship I could. Obviously, internships, they're sort of like, they're sort of aimed at penultimate year students. So those are going into their final year. So I didn't get them the first and second year. I'd say my third year applying, the majority of people saw my name again. They were like, Jesus, come on, we might as well just give this guy an interview. Like, he applies so much. He likes everything on Instagram. So eventually I got an interview for KPMG. I actually got the interview for KPMG while I was in Irish Life. So I remember looking at the email that morning, and it was one of those, those experiences I have where I'm like, shit, what do I do? Do I go? Do I take a day off work, or do I stay in work, or what do I do? So I think in them instances, you should just follow your gut, which I eventually did. Got the interview, went to the interview, and I was just myself. Like, you know, like a lot of people go into interviews and they have something written out that they're going to say and stuff. If you want to get a job in a place, go in and just be yourself. Like, talk to whoever you're talking to as a normal person, because that's what they want at the end of the day. So I went into my interview, and it was actually a guy from Wexford that was interviewing me. So obviously I started talking about hurling and football and how we used to play hurling and football. That was grand. We were chatting for about 15-20 minutes. Joe touched on the college stuff, like, Joe, your grade's good. Yeah, yeah, good, good, good. And I think it was like 2 weeks later, I got the email saying you've been offered a place. So initially I was offered a place in the audit department, and then I think it was a month later I was offered a place in the advisory department, which was my number one choice. That's what I wanted. So obviously, naturally enough, I took that, went into KPMG then for the summer, and I absolutely loved every second of it. Like, you know, I was with Irish Life for 5 months, really enjoyed that. Went into KPMG, and then 10 weeks, like, they just told me what I wanted to do after college. Like, and that's, to be honest with you, that's what I wanted to do over, like, from January to September. I wanted to find what sector I wanted to work in. I didn't care how much exposure, I didn't care what I was doing, I wanted to get experience. So when I was applying to like KPMG, I was applying to PwC, Deloitte, Apple, Microsoft, Google, everyone. When I accepted the KPMG job, I got a call the next week saying, you've got Google if you want. Day after that, got an email saying, you've got Microsoft if you want. Now, if I hadn't accepted KPMG, I could have accepted either or. Like, Microsoft, Google are huge companies. Like, they're absolutely massive companies. But, like, what I was feeling at that moment was, this is going to be right for me. And to be honest with you, if I could go back, I would not change that decision, because I found exactly what I wanted to do for my grad program, if I get it, fingers crossed. And thereafter, like, so I think in situations where you're looking for an internship with the possibility of getting a grad program, whatever, just do what you feel is right. Like, it doesn't matter how much revenue that company brings in every year. It doesn't matter what people in their work and say, you have to experience it. Like, and experience trumps everything, Joe. So yeah.
And how do you approach a work-life balance?
So I have this technique that I have that is called the driving technique. So when I feel like that I am going too hard in work, I try on the brake and I say, Kev, you're going too much of this. Just take a little break, walk outside for 5 minutes, get a bit of air, then go back in after. So that's the sort of thing that I approach, especially with college. When I'm in college and I'm studying, and I might be there's no point going into a library and studying for 15 hours and aiming to study for 15 hours, because that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If you have a set plan where you go in, you say, right, I'm going to do an hour of this thing. I'm going to go out for a walk, do another hour. I'm going to talk to my mates then for 15 minutes. Like, you get so much more work done like that than just closing everyone off and saying, right, I'm getting this done. Simple as, don't care who's coming. Because, like, you're human. You need interaction with people. Like, so I'd definitely say to achieve a work-life balance, remember that there is something there apart from work. Because, like, at the end of the day, like, we're here to enjoy our lives. Work is a fundamental part of our lives. You have to get paid in some way. But, like, don't be afraid to go off for 5-10 minutes and chat to someone. Like, you're going to get your work done if you're a hard-working person. So for work-life balance, definitely just be sensible about it. Like, no one's going to go into the gym or anything for, 9 hours and train like a madman. Like, so you need to just find your own balance, but make sure you're getting your stuff done as well. So.
And I'm curious to know, who had the biggest impact on your life? Like, who influenced your life the most?
Right. So the biggest impact on my life is, I'm trying to think of anyone else, but like, it has to be my dad. Like, he came from absolutely none. And I know it's like, a lot of people say it's their parents, but like, in fairness, like, this man has been through everything, like absolutely everything. He came out of school after leaving, sir, wanted to teach, didn't have money there for teaching. So he got into carpentry, got his trade, worked his way up. We were kids then. I was a kid, actually. He had his own business, did really well that for a while. Found another business then that I went into as project manager. Obviously, like, he always has me, my brother, and my mom as his number one priority. And that's the thing that I absolutely love is him. Like, he's the most selfless person there is. He will work 24 hours a day to provide for us. And that's what I have in myself. That's what drives me. So he went from owning his own business to a different company, worked in that company, and then at night time while he's in a company, went back to school. So what he did, he did his 4 years of college, got his degree. He did a post-grad, and then he did his master's, all off his own back. No handouts, no none. And that's the way his life has been through. And seeing that man's work ethic the whole way through, it's hard not to have that rub off you in some way. So, like, even my mom got sick when I think I was 14 and my brother would have been 11. And even during that time, like, call it selfish in one way, but, like, my dad knew, right, his wife was sick. That was enough emotional trauma in itself. But he had his two boys there to provide for as well. So I remember exactly, we used to go up for school. He'd be out the door at 6:30. Me and my brother would get ourselves ready and get on the bus. We'd come home from school, dinner would be there, be down, help my mom out and stuff like that. And he wouldn't get back till 11 or 11:30 every night. Because he's out, he's working three jobs at one time. And that's, like, your parents are always going to be your biggest influence, whether you like it or not. And seeing that man do what he has done, it'll always make me question myself and say, look, you're doing enough here, you're not doing enough here. You remember what your father put you through, or not put me through, you remember what your father put himself through to provide the best life for yourself. Cop on and get on with it, like, John. That's, you can see that exactly my brother as well. Like, he will work, like, he'll be up at like 5:30 to go work in a kitchen, and he's only turned 18. Like, that's the type of work ethic that's been instilled in us. And like, Joe, he's just a phenomenal human. Like, he's been through so much, and he's come out, like, I've never seen my dad down or like negative, right? He's always so positive, he's also bubbly, and like, to have that there is just, it's phenomenal. And same with my mom as well. Like the two of them, they play off each other, they help each other out in so much. And that has shown to me and my brother, like, this is what hardworking people are like, and this is what we are aiming towards. And I guarantee you, Dom, I'll be here in 15-20 years time, and I'll be a second to that man out there, like, Joe. So yeah, that's my motivating factor. And he's a person I always looked up to, whether he's 2-3 years old, or whether I'm 21 years old, or 30 or 40, 50 years old, I'll always look up to him. So he's definitely the most influential person in my life, whether I like it or not. So
yeah. Well, that's amazing. Yeah, I love the crazy way it's your dad, and you're that's amazing.
Yeah, I would do absolutely anything for him, my mom, anything, not a bother. So like, their influence has been absolutely phenomenal. So it's brilliant, it's class.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And Kevin, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
So,
where are you going?
Like, I'm a very future focused person.
Okay.
Very future focused. So 5 years' time, I know in my heart and soul, I will be working in the department I want to work in the company that I want to work in. And I don't care what I have to do to get there, I will get there. So that's where I see myself in 5 years' time. In those 5 years, I can see myself traveling a good bit, meeting a lot of new people, and experiencing just everything I can experience. Because at this age, we're right at the edge of the table. We're 21, 22 years old. We're going from our last year of full-time education to officially adulting, as they say, Joe. So, that year, you're going to be working the rest of your life. This year now, it's important to knuckle down, but you have to experience everything you can as a 21, 22-year-old in this. So, I know myself that over this next year, I'm going to do absolutely everything that I've ever wanted to. I'm going to read as much as I can. I'll do sports I've never done before. I'll meet as much people as I can. I'll create as much memories as I can. And I'll keep doing that. Whether I'm still a college student or whether I'm a full-time working professional, I'm going to keep doing that.
Hmm. And I'm curious to know, what made you what made you discover yourself? What made you find out, okay, this is the career I want to get into? I know you said the department you went to, but I'm sure it happened before that.
Yeah.
So what gave you the initial motivation to do the course you're doing, and then eventually leading up to the department and company where I'm working?
Yeah. So basically, I think everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
And the decisions that you make will always have a knock-on effect. Mm. So choosing my course, Commercial Italian course, my mom used to work in Italy. She absolutely loves Italy. We used to go there when we were younger. We went there once or twice when we were younger. And I absolutely loved it. I loved the people. I loved the language. I loved the style of life. So I said, I want that, but I want to work in business, because it's always fascinated me, the world of business. These guys are dealing with billions of euro dollars every day. I just find something like that exciting. I love a high-paced job. So I said, I want to go into something where I can incorporate the language, see a bit of Italy, and the business as well. So I ended up getting Commerce with Italian in UCC. And it was only through sort of I don't know any first year really within a college that goes to a career fair for a postgraduate job. But the first chance I got, I started going to them fairs and I started looking at the companies and what they do and stuff. And it was through research I do with reading, that I found out what these companies do, what they stand for, and what job you'd be doing in that. So it's just basically through research throughout the 3-4 years that I found a company that I really liked. I really liked their values. I really liked their people. And I decided I wanted to work there. So I applied then, and that was pretty much it. And all going well, I'll be there for as long as I can.
And if you could have dinner with someone, anyone, who...
I like this question.
What would that person be?
So, if I could have dinner with anyone, I'd probably say Barack Obama, because...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not one of those ones where it's a celebrity that died 70 years ago, but I really Barack Obama reminds me of my father. He works extremely hard. He doesn't put himself first, and he knows exactly what he wants to achieve, and he achieves it. So if I could sit down with that man for an hour and just go through his brain and see what makes it function, I'd love to. I find that being a genuine good person is what trumps all, and if you're that type of person, you're going to get on well. So definitely him.
And what would you say are the 3 biggest lessons that you learned through your life? I know you're only 21, but you obviously learned thing or two. What are the 3 biggest lessons that you learned?
Yeah, so typically I find that people learn the biggest lessons of their lives within their first 20 years from people I've talked to that are, I've talked to people that are my age, and I've talked to people as old as 93. My grandmother was 93 when she died, and she always said, these first 20 years, when you're experiencing everything, when you're not tied down by anything, that's when you're going to make mistakes and you're going to learn lessons from it. So I think in my 20 years, the lessons that I've learned that have stood to me and will continue to stand to me are, number one, your opinion on yourself is one that counts. So there's going to be plenty of people that are out there that are going to be saying, you're not good enough for this, you're not good enough for that. If you feel you're good enough for something, you're going to be. So number one lesson is to always believe in yourself. Don't listen to anyone who thinks. Second lesson is probably underestimating yourself. So I'm someone that, especially even recently, I've underestimated myself, saying that I'm not good enough for that, I can't do that, etc., etc. If you want to do something, you'll be able to. So yeah, that'd be my second lesson that I've learned. And the third one that I've learned is that, third lesson I've learned is probably that experiences are probably the most valuable part of life that you'll ever experience. So traveling, like different seeing different cultures, that's probably the best lesson you will ever learn. Like, no matter how many lectures you go to on, like, I don't know, the Chinese culture, you're never going to experience that unless you're over in that country. And like, I think even the time we went to China with like the school, like that opened my eyes. Like, you know, I thought it was like absolutely phenomenal to see the way another culture lived. And like, every piece of travel I've based myself on since then has just been to learn, like, you know. So they're my three.
Kevin, look, it was a pleasure. Before we finish up, is there any ending that I didn't ask you, ending that you were like, oh damn, I wish you, Dom asked me this question but he didn't. So is there an ending out there?
No, I think you're after hitting the nail on the head. And I just want to add at the end, like, I think what you're doing, Dom, is absolutely fantastic. It's great to see someone like that, Joe, you know, I grew up with doing something like this, going out there, doing something different. Like, it's always nice to see lads that, you know, doing well for themselves. So all I want to say is just keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job, and just keep believing in yourself, man, because you'll get there, no bother. So thanks very much for having me on.
Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. My pleasure, man.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, it'd be pretty cool if you shared it with your friends or anyone else who you think would benefit from it. You can find all the show notes by going to the website chasingpassion.ie. That is chasingpassion.ie. Thank you for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed the episode.